The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
First of all, Satan would love to discourage you from worshiping God. Satan is able to take natural occurrences and sometimes supernatural occurrences to do that. I mean, let's face it, Satan, for whatever reason, is temporarily the prince of the power of the world. He's called the God of this age.
Dr. Robert Jeffress exposes Satan's behind-the-scenes, vicious, and destructive plan for each one of us. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane is with me. Are you ready to fight?
I'm ready to fight. I've got my armor on.
We are ready. We are ready to fight. Now, we mean that in the spiritual sense. And to help us, we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Jeffress. Welcome back to Life Today. It's great to have you.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I want to tell people about your book, The Divine Defense. It is on spiritual warfare. And just a little personal aside, I love that a good Southern Baptist preachers talking about spiritual warfare.
Yes. I like it.
This is real, is it not?
It is real. And some people think if they can't see it, it's not real. And what a foolish thing to think. Randy Alcorn has a great story about a set of twins in their mother's womb the day before they're born.
Yeah.
And one of the twins says, you know, they say there's a whole different world out there, one of lakes and mountains of zebras and giraffes and skyscrapers with buildings and automobiles and jet airplanes. And the other twin says, oh, don't be ridiculous. Everybody knows there's no such thing as life after birth. Well, you know, we kind of have the same tunnel vision sometimes. Mm-hmm. We think if we can't see it, it can't be real. But in truth, there is a spiritual battle going on that is more real than the things we can see. Mm. And Paul said it best in Ephesians 6. He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the unseen spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. And I wrote the book, The Divine Defense, not to make everybody paranoid about Satan and demons, mm-hmm. Yeah. but to make them aware of that reality and what we need to do to resist Satan's plan to destroy our lives.
So how would you position, because like you said, there's a balance here, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about Satan, when we talk about demons, what do we need to know in order to fight, and what do we maybe not need to do in order to get weird?
Well, it's a great question, and C.S. Lewis wrote about that. He said, in talking about the devils, he said, we need to avoid the two extremes. One is to glorify them yeah. and give them more place and prominence than they deserve, and the other is to ignore them. Mm-hmm. In fact, Donald Gray Barnhouse basically said, people who deny or are not aware of spiritual warfare become spiritual roadkill. And that's what prompted me to write this book. I see it in my church. I see it in Christendom in general. Mm-hmm. People are being assaulted on every front. They're being destroyed through temptation. They're pulled down by depression, broken relationships become the norm, and they think all of this is natural. Well, it's not natural. It's not part of God's original plan. Much of it is supernatural. Mm. There are other forces at work that are trying to either rob us of salvation and our place in heaven or rob us of the benefits of our salvation here on earth.
So if somebody is experiencing opposition in their life, and the temptation there would be to say, man, I'm just being attacked by the enemy on every side. How do you know when something that you're experiencing is, you know, possibly just you're hitting a rough patch versus there's really a spiritual attack going on? And how do you have that radar up to know?
Yeah, and it's hard to discern sometimes. And frankly, I'm not sure it's that important to discern at some points because the remedy is the same. I think many times Satan uses natural things in life that come at the wrong time to pull us aside and astray. I can look at some things in my past that I look back and that was Satan. I mean, he was using people. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, which was, what was he talking about? Well, he wasn't saying that Peter was filled with Satan, but Peter allowed himself to be used by Satan to keep Jesus from doing what he needed to do. And I think sometimes temptation comes into our life. We'll talk about that, I think, in the next program. Temptation comes at just the wrong time, when we're most vulnerable. You know, Satan is not the opposite of God. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent, all-powerful. But he's been watching you and me long enough to know exactly when we're most vulnerable to falling. And James 1:14 talks about, you know, everyone is tempted when he is led astray and enticed by his own lust. That word enticed is a word that means hooked. It refers to a fisherman who knows exactly when to put that bait in front of the fish and what bait works best. And he knows exactly when to dangle that fish in front of us or that bait.
I love that passage in James because it walks through the process of temptation. You know, we think of temptation as maybe a sin, but temptation's not. Jesus was tempted in all manner and yet never sinned.
Right. That's right.
And when I look at that fishing analogy of that lure hitting the water and making the noise and then being enticed and then the hunger of the fish causing it to take action, and that's when it gets hooked, and that leads to the sin, and that leads to the death. That understanding that whole process, I think, is a major sort of radar in the spiritual warfare where you go, I recognize that's temptation. That's not from God.
That's
God
right.
doesn't tempt us.
Right.
And when you understand what's going on, you can better fight it.
Yeah, that's how do we teach believers not to take the bait?
Right. Yeah, well,
great question. Well, I call it the temptation equation.
Yeah.
It's laid out very clearly. And again, Jesus was tempted beyond anything you and I will ever experience. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's why one of the primary pieces of weaponry God has given us is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember when Satan was tempting Jesus, three specific temptations he gave to him, and Jesus responded to each one with Scripture. And I used to think, and I was wrong about it, I used to think, well, the reason he did that was that would make Satan run away. You all are too young to remember this, but there used to be a TV commercial for Raid, you know, to get the bugs out of your house. And there'd be a little cartoon about these rodents who were having a party in the kitchen, and all of a sudden the Raid comes, and the cockroaches go, oh, no, Raid, and off they run. I kind of thought, you know, that's how Satan reacted to the Word of God. Oh, no, the Word of God. Satan's not bothered by the Word of God.
Well, he used it in the temptation.
He used it.
The reason Jesus quoted Scripture was not for Satan's benefit, it was for Jesus' benefit, to strengthen his resolve to resist.
Wow.
And you know, a funny thing about that, Jesus, as you noted, quoted three times from Scripture. It was the same book of the Bible, Deuteronomy. He knew God's Word so well, he knew exactly what Scripture to use, when and where. My old professor, Howard Hendricks, used to say, men, if your spiritual survival depended on how well you knew the book of Deuteronomy, how well would you do? And he said, maybe that's why you're not doing any better than you are.
You were talking about threes, being tempted three times. You also talk about a threefold plan that Satan has for ruining your life. In the book, and you mentioned discourage you from worshiping God, distract you from serving God, and deceive you into disobeying God. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, let's unpack that. First of all, Satan would love to discourage you from worshiping God. Satan is able to take natural occurrences and sometimes supernatural occurrences to do that. I mean, let's face it, Satan, for whatever reason, is temporarily the prince of the power of the world. He's called the god of this age. I think many of the things that we see, like thunderstorms and the floods like we saw in Texas last year that took the lives of those little girls. Mm. All of that is orchestrated by Satan to discourage people from worshiping God. That's what he did with Job. Just think of what Job went through in a single day's time. He lost his livelihood, all of his animals. He lost his 10 children in a freak windstorm. Mm. He lost his own health. And Job's wife said, why do you keep worshiping God? Just curse God and die. Those things that come into our life, Satan is trying to discourage us from worshiping God. Secondly, he'll distract us from serving God. Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 4 how pleasure and worry and just the business of everyday life can choke out spiritual growth in our life. But the most blatant way Satan tries to destroy our life is in overt disobedience. He wants us to, he deceives us into disobeying God, and that's where that temptation equation comes in. You know, he doesn't come up with anything new. The old ways work just fine, and that's why Satan will do anything he can to deceive us into disobeying him. You know, he deceives us just like he did the woman in the garden. You know, God said to Eve, you can eat of any tree in the garden, hundreds if not thousands of trees, but this one tree is off limits. And what does Satan do? He zeroes her focus on that one forbidden piece of fruit. Why? Well, he said, God has a reason. He's keeping you from that fruit. He knows it's going to make you like him, and God is paranoid, and you'll not have what you really need to feel successful and fulfilled in life. And he does the same thing with us today. This thing that is off limits is, Satan says, the one thing you need to make you fulfilled.
Yeah. You know, the other thing he says there, and this happens a lot, is it another word that starts with D. So we're talking about discourage, distract, deceive, but there's doubt.
Yeah.
Because he said, did God really say that?
That's right.
And that's where you're talking about knowing the Word. It makes all the difference in the world.
It's the first question in the Bible. Has God really said?
That's fascinating. I mean, the doubt and the deceit, those are real kind of heady games. How much of this is spiritual warfare is a mind game?
All of it.
Is it?
All sin begins in the mind. There's no action that we take that doesn't begin with the mind. And that's why I call it, it's the battlefield for spiritual warfare. And that's why what we put into our mind is so important.
Daily.
Yeah. But you know, and I think you alluded to this earlier, you know, temptation in and of itself is not a sin.
Right.
Somebody said, you know, we can't control the birds flying over our head, but we can keep them from building a nest in our hair. And it's not having the thought that's the sin. Yeah. It's what you do with that thought. And that's really why Paul says the first piece of spiritual weaponry is the belt of truth.
Yeah.
You know, in Paul's day, the Roman soldier had the free-flowing tunic, and it could easily trip him up or give the enemy an unfair advantage when he would grab hold of it. So any soldier going into battle, the first thing he would do would tuck the tunic into the belt. And Paul is saying we need to do the same thing. Loose thoughts can have a way of giving the enemy an advantage in our life, and we need to confront every loose thought with the truth of God's Word.
Yeah.
So when we're thinking about the thoughts, because I can imagine, I think about a time in my life maybe where I tried to always make it practical for me, where I've struggled with something that I felt like I just keep getting hit by the enemy. I can't do enough self-talk. I can't. So obviously we know the Word of God. We know we have to put truth into us. But practically, how do we walk this out in a community with people? How do we actually take steps where we get free from kind of that bondage that we feel we're kind of getting hit on all sides from the enemy?
Well, I think you mentioned several things. First of all, the Word of God. You know, it's no longer, and I don't think it was ever enough, for people to hear God's Word once a week for 30 minutes in a sermon on Sundays. But just think, for generations, that was all of God's Word they got. Oh, they may read the Bible, but I'm talking about being taught the Bible. That's not enough in today's world. We need a regular intake of God's Word through the ear gate. And that's why, you know, I tell people, you know, redeem those free moments in your life when you're driving. I had one man in my church say, "Pastor, I'm just so angry all the time. I don't know why I'm so angry." Well, I asked him a few questions. He was listening to talk radio 4 hours a day. I mean, I'd be angry too, you know, listen to
That's
that.
A good
why not
point.
Listen to a message or some worship music or something that will feed your soul? So I think we need the regular intake of God's Word. You mentioned community. You know, Satan loves to separate us from our spiritual community. He wants to do everything he can to isolate us and then attack and destroy us. We need a community of believers to be in who will hold us accountable, who will encourage us when we need encouragement.
It's funny that you say that because you talk about it being a battlefield of the mind, and yet I have found myself sometimes just like letting the world, not like going out and seeking it, but just everyday noise and world. And it takes effort to say, okay, you know what? No, I'm gonna maybe listen to scripture while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna change the station and put on some music that's a lot more hopeful. And then the other aspect of it is that sometimes I think, especially here at a ministry, if I can be brutally honest, don't tell anyone, don't tell my pastor, but I'll be like, you know, I was working in ministry kind of stuff all week and I'm kind of tired this weekend.
Yeah.
I think I'll just skip church.
Yeah.
Just this one weekend. And every time I go, no, I need to go be a part of the fellowship of a body of believers, right? It seems like the pastor's speaking something right into my life and filling my mind with the scripture and the truth that I needed to hear. Yeah. I don't know. As a pastor, of course, you're going to say you should go to church. But I mean, it's way beyond just filling up the pews. It's filling our minds.
That's right. And the reason Hebrews 10 tells us, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as has become the habit of some.
Right.
You know, during COVID, a lot of people got into some very bad habits of, it was great. They were on Zoom and worshiping, but they were separated from the body.
Yeah.
Just think about this hand. If I were to cut this hand off, how long would this hand be able to move? It would cease to function because it didn't get the blood and oxygen it needs. The most common image in the Bible for the church is the body of Christ. We need one another. We're kind of like those two porcupines in northern Canada who huddled together in the sub-zero temperature. They needed one another even though they needled one another. You know, it's the same way with Christians. Yeah, Christians aren't perfect. Some people bother us, but we do desperately need one another. And I'll go one step further, and there may be somebody watching today who's in this situation. You've gone through a terrible tragedy. You've lost a loved one. You've gone through a divorce. And you just think, well, I'm going to take a vacation from church for a while so I can heal from this. My friend David Jeremiah says, when you're going through a trial, there's only one person who thinks you need to take a vacation from church, and that's Satan. I mean, the time we need the body most is when we've gone through a tremendous loss.
Yeah, and because that's the time of spiritual warfare, though.
That's
most.
Right.
And
right. Satan
and you're vulnerable.
Will put those doubts in your mind about the goodness of God. If God is really there, why did he allow you to go through
this?
And
Lord knows you're discouraged when you're going through some tough things. All right, there's a lot of things we haven't talked about. You touched on some of the strategies to win. Because that's the good news, is when we fight, we win. Can we unpack some of those in another program maybe?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I want
to do that.
I'm ready.
You're ready to go? Okay. Well, but there is hope. I mean, your radio show, your television show is Pathway to Victory. So I'm guessing you think there is hope for victory, yes?
There is hope for victory. The Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And don't let Satan tempt you into thinking that there's nothing you can do to be free of his grasp, that we're destined to be prisoners of sin as long as we're alive until we go to heaven one day. No. The Bible says sin has no more power over our life than we choose to allow it to have. But we have to use the weapons, the strategies God has given us. And that's what we'll talk about.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you guys will come back for the other program. But I want to show you another situation where we're fighting a battle. And yes, there is a spiritual component to this because all the work that you see us doing here at Life Outreach International to help people with food, water, rescuing from sex trafficking, there is a physical aspect, but there is a spiritual component to it. And what you're about to see is an outreach where we give people clean drinking water. We call it Water for Life. But I want you to know that when we take care of the practical need, we take care of the spiritual need. So watch this and see how you can support physical water as we take people the water of life in Jesus Christ.
All week long, we've been here talking to mothers that have sick children or mothers who've lost children to waterborne illness. But the fact is, you can see right over my shoulder, this is the water source. This is the only water source for this entire village. That water, what you wouldn't see is the death that it contains.
Cheguei lá quando fui, quando estava muito quente. Não, só me disse que ela tem bicho na barriga. É só mesmo que ela, quando chega a barriga, quando dói, ela passa toda a noite a chorar. A pessoa, quando vê sua carta, leva em casa, não freve, não mete lixívia. É só bebê. Sim. O que eu queria aqui para me ajudar? Eles deram uma sonda. Porque aqui nós estamos, tem muita distância, é o rio. Muita distância mesmo. Eu queria só mesmo água para toda a gente. A sonda.
These water sources are repeated in all the places that we work. And if you were on vacation, you might say how beautiful it is, but if you had to live here and get your water from this river, you would understand that it is actually a cup of death. Would you help us prevent moms from having to come here anymore to gather the water for their families to use? So I'm asking you, please join us so that we can bring the water for life to villages just like this.
You know, it is a very tough situation, a very complex situation, but the solution is so simple. And you know, Belinda, when I look at that, I go, wow, the need is great, but the resources are here. It's within our power.
It's within our power. And it really doesn't take that much per person. If everybody does a little,
that's right,
all of those gifts add up. And I watch that and I think about the mom who isn't just walking to get clean water. That's hard enough in those villages if you're walking to clean water, but she's walking to go get dirty water for her children. And I think as a mom, I think I would do anything. I would be desperate to do anything for my children to live. But to know that I'm going 2 miles, 3 miles to get dirty water to then maybe make them sick is so painful to think about. Yeah. And to think that we, at our fingertips, have the resources to change that for them.
Yeah. And that's so true. And you know, when you go to these places where I've been, you see the dedication of a lot of these mothers and some fathers to go to provide for their children. They'll do whatever they can, and the rivers are contaminated, you know. Sometimes there's plenty of water, but none of it's clean. They'll try to strain it, sometimes boil it. Most of them don't have much to boil with. And in some cases, it's a dry season. There's just no water around. I've seen people try to get water out of the side of a hill where it would sort of seep into a low place. Or there's a hand-dug well where contaminants can blow in. And it's really not deep enough to draw the pure water. But we can change that. Together, you and I can go in. And this year, our goal is 350 wells in 20 different nations because the need is great. The average well will serve 1,000 people for about 70 years. And that's because we drill the wells right. We go in deep enough, like I said, to get that pure drinking water. We encase it. We put a hand pump on it. This is water for life. But it's only possible when people just like you say, I want to do something. And the something is the important part. Because a gift of $48 right now will, on average, provide 10 people with water for life. A gift of $144 would provide that for 30 people. When we look at all of the wells that we drill in a year and all the difficult places we go into and all the hard work we put in to making these things last, the average cost is about $4,800. And some of you could do that. I just believe it's important that we do something. And Belinda, I know the results are great when we do.
And it is amazing how our money can just multiply when we just do the best gift we can. And I just want to encourage you, go make the best gift you can. And just remember that every time you do make that gift, you change a life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, fresh drinking water, free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Discovering the Joy of Reading God's Word. Whether you've read the Bible for years or are just beginning, this book invites you to experience Scripture in a fresh, more intimate way. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request Life's beautiful 2026 bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
These ladies have told us this is their only water source. This sort of river that flows through next to their village here is the only place they can get water from. And I think you might be watching this as a mother and you're saying, how can those mothers give their children that water? I would never give my child water like that. Yeah, you wouldn't, unless that water was the only water that your child could have. But it's so easy for us to change that. You see, if we put a water well here, if we bring Mission Water for Life to this village and we drill a water well, what we can do is instantly change the condition in this village and stop mothers from having to come down and take dirty, disease-filled water back to their families. So please, go to the phone right now, dial that number on your screen and give the best gift that you can give. You give the gift of life, give the gift of water.
I do hope you're going online, going to the phone. Make the best gift you can. You can give life. Request the divine defense. This will help you in every spiritual battle. And we're going to come back with Dr. Jeffress. And if you ever miss any of the Life Today programs, you can go to lifetoday.org and see all of them. But Dr. Jeffress, we've been so blessed today.
Thank you.
Belinda, I'm looking forward to him coming back.
I know. I'm really excited to hear because we're going to talk about strategies to defeat the enemy.
Yes. There is victory.
There is victory.
There is victory, and we're going to talk about it. So come back next time on Life Today.
Tomorrow, learn how to fight the invisible war that Satan wages.
Can Christians be possessed by the devil or by a demon?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.